Welcome back to the Box Jumper Podcast, folks. I'm your host, John St. Amand. For this episode, I'm joined by two guests that are sure to inspire by their examples. Aging isn't easy, and in fact, that's certainly one of the reasons I do CrossFit, and I'm sure it's one of the reasons many of you do as well. Building physical capacity to carry that fitness into later stages of life is one of those central philosophies of the training methodology. Yes, it is forging elite fitness, but elite fitness can also be viewed as a relative thing. If you have the ability to squat, press, clean, deadlift, run, jump, throw, perform pull-ups and burpees, and you're in your 50s, 60s, or beyond, relative to the majority of people in your age group, you are in elite company. That's what allows you to live a productive, independent life for much longer than your peers. That's what a broader view of elite fitness really entails. And my guests today are terrific examples of people embracing that view of what fitness means. Faye Gunter and Linda Landymore are both members of the gym at which I train and coach. I've worked out alongside each of them, as well as had the pleasure of coaching each of them in class. Additionally, the rest of the membership has been lucky enough to see both ladies lead by example. They don't shy away from hard work, like CrossFit classes bring. They do all the hard things that are asked of them, scaling appropriately as needed, while pushing themselves to learn new skills, develop new strengths, and basically never quit. If you saw them in class, you'd clearly be impressed. Then when I told you their ages, which I really wouldn't normally do, but they're on the podcast, so the cat's out of the bag, you probably wouldn't believe me. Both ladies are over 70 years old. The way they carry themselves on and off the gym floor, you'd certainly never know it. They squat, they deadlift, they press, clean, snatch, jump, lunge, you name it. With how they're able to perform in the gym, it's little wonder that that confidence in self carries to their lives outside of the gym. They've earned a feeling of security that all that hard work brings. Both are incredibly positive and energetic, willing to try and fail in order to learn new things and cheer others on as they work towards a similar goal. In 10 seconds, I'll speak with two of my favorite septuagenarians, Faye and Linda, about why CrossFit is now a vital part of their anti-aging routine, and how their family and friends support the remarkably fit lifestyle they each lead. Linda, Faye, welcome to the Box Jumper Podcast.
Thank you.
This will be a novel experience for me. I think I've only done an interview with more than one person at the same time once. Maybe a second time. I don't remember a second time. It was the very first episode that I did. I interviewed the new owners of our box that we started at together, Faye. So I got to talk to Rob and Tisha about what they were doing, and I haven't attempted to do a multi-person interview since. It's not that it scared me away, I've just done a lot of one-on-one stuff. Oh, I think the only other instance that I had two guests on was when I spoke with a friend of mine in California that had started doing CrossFit, and I had his coach come on and talk at the same time, because he hadn't been doing CrossFit all that long, so he felt like he needed a little bit of energy to bounce off, and he did a great job talking about what it's like to use CrossFit to keep himself so healthy that he could stand for long periods of time to perform facial plastic surgery. That's his thing. And he's not as young as I am, but he's not as old as you ladies. So he's sort of in between. Look, that is what we are here to talk about today. You two are aging with a vengeance in a way that allows you to do so much, and it's incredibly inspiring to everyone in the community at the box at which we train. So what I'm most interested in learning about is, how do you do it? And how did all of this craziness get started? Faye, let's start with you. I've known you the longest, and I know you've been doing CrossFit for almost as long as I have.
Probably 10 years. Wow. This is my 9th open, so.
Well then, yeah.
I think, yeah. And it's my daughter's fault. She bought a Groupon or whatever to go to CrossFit, and I went, oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And so she bought one for me, and I went with her, and I walked into this place where they were lifting these barbells, and I thought, I'm not doing that. And here I am 10 years later.
Had she been doing CrossFit for a little while before she had you come? Or did you both come in new together?
We came in new together.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you remember what your first workout was?
Oh, no.
It's going back a ways.
Yes, I don't, completely don't remember.
I don't remember mine.
I mean,
first
we
either.
Did the fundamentals first, so
right.
Went through all the movements and
yeah,
we're still at it.
What about you, Liv and Linda? How did you get introduced to CrossFit?
Well, I've always been active, physically mm-hmm. active, so that's a and probably same for you, yes. Faye, because I think being an active person, mm-hmm. that moving into something like this is helpful. Mm-hmm. How did I get into it? I had a hip operation 5 years ago, and it takes a while to recover from something like that. My daughter has been doing CrossFit around the same time that I had that done. And so I was fully indoctrinated in it. I thought it was almost cult-like. It was really quite serious. Our conversations were only CrossFit. And or they're on their cell phones and they're checking this and that. And I thought, boy, is this life now? Now that they've joined CrossFit, I thought, oh, Lord. Anyway, I was doing exercise at the Canada Game Center, doing all kinds of water sports.
Yeah, they have quite a number of programs.
Yeah, and that was really helpful with getting the mobility going in my hip.
Yeah.
And but it never felt strong. And then COVID hit. Right. And then everybody was doing their classes in their own home gyms. So Chris and Jane had set up their gym in their garage. Yeah. And Jane said, well, Mom, come up to the class. They're doing skipping. You might be able to do the skipping. Well, I haven't skipped since I was a kid. You know, so she got the skipping rope out and right. away I went. And then there was a few other things that were quite simple. And then it was lifting the dumbbells up. They had sets of light dumbbells. And I could only lift 2 pounds over my left-hand shoulder, you know. So I thought, But anyway, I did it. And at the end of the class, it felt pretty good. So once COVID kind of settled down, then I went to do a class at CrossFit. Mm-hmm. It was called HIT 60, and my understanding in my mind was I was 60 and over, so that's what I was expecting. So I went to the class, and I think it was, don't know who was teaching it, I think it was Lindsay that was teaching it, mm-hmm. and kids were running and burpees and going up and down, and I couldn't do that because my hip was so stiff.
Right.
And I thought, what am I doing in this class? So Catherine said, are you going to do it again? And I said, no. I said, I think I'm done. So then she asked my daughter. She said, I don't think Mom will go near this. She just won't. She just... Yeah. Anyway, I did. And I decided that I would just give it a try because they moved into the level method.
Right.
And that was a big, big thing for me because all I could think of CrossFit was macho.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be stacked and all of this other stuff. And I thought... I wanted to join it because I wanted to strengthen my hip, my shoulder. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to get up off the floor, bounce off the floor, not crawl and pull myself up with chairs, mm-hmm. and just have good stability and balance and all of that. Those are my key things. And so I went to CrossFit, had my foundation with Kate. She sold it right there for me. I just loved her. She was wonderful. And then she explained what the level method was and that I could work at my own level, and it's been perfect. Yeah, and it's been 3 years now.
So the cool thing is, for anyone that is listening and hasn't already checked out the last episode that I did for the podcast, it was an interview with one of the folks that came up with the level method. And he did a great job explaining what that overarching idea was, the idea of being able to take, I mean, we always in CrossFit as coaches, we've always had the ability to scale workouts. In fact, it's broadly encouraged. Back in the early days of CrossFit, it was a little bit more macho to just do everything RX. And you know, in order to broaden the appeal of CrossFit to a wider audience, I think it rightly became the way that we always do things now is scale to a person's ability to meet them where they are, and level method just codifies that as a system that you can use in a gym. That did that take some of the fear factor out of it?
Hugely.
Because you knew what the expectations were?
Because you just said this macho image, and I didn't want to be there for any power workout or anything. I didn't want this Hulk body. I was happy the way I was, but I was going in it with different goals. And this seemed to be a gentle way that I can get up to a strength build up at my pace. Then if I was doing a workout at my pace, I wasn't so threatened by people that were doing it at a higher rate than I was. But if we were all doing the same and I'm struggling and I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh, look at them go and look at me go. I can't even do that. That's intimidating. It's not nice.
My first 3 months probably, I thought, because we didn't have that scaling, so you felt that if they said a weight, you had to do it. And both my daughter and I overextended ourselves. So with the level method, you don't do that. And I find that it's, you know, it's much better. Some days I don't have the mobility to do maybe at the blue level, so I back it off, you know, to the next level down or go in between the two. So I find it really good.
That was one of the things that I really wanted to talk about too, is the idea of not only do we have, like with the level method, you have appropriate scaling that's mapped out to your color levels, which you've determined by doing assessments along the way that you retest on a periodic basis. But, you know, you as an athlete, you're always authorized to make modifications, back off on the level of intensity. Obviously everybody takes rest days. How do you balance that intensity to deliver results versus how you're feeling, what aches and pains that you have? I mean, do you have specific rest days that you adhere to and particularly scheduled days, and how do you manage how much you take on?
For me, through the week. I do 4 to 5 days in a row, which I know probably isn't the best, but I like to have the weekend off. So for me, that works. So it always was 5 days. Now sometimes it's 4, depending. Depending how I sleep.
How about you, Linda? How often do you go?
I need a day in between.
Yeah.
A recovery day. I had done a couple in a row and I didn't like the feeling that I was having. And so I find that one day off is a good mix for me. So I was going 3 days a week. I'm now down to 2 days a week, but I do water aerobics. Two classes of water aerobics to make up for the day that I lost at CrossFit. And then the weekend is off.
When you had your surgery, how prescriptive were they about what kind of physical therapy and what kind of activities you should either steer towards or steer away from when you were recovering?
There is a, when you have your hip replaced, it's really important that your body alignment stays true. So when you're sleeping on your back with a pillow between your legs, so that your legs aren't rotating in or rotating out, because that will change how the it's the socket is and everything. Because they want all of that part to grow. It's like a mushroom that's going into two sections. And so for the first 6 weeks, you're home, you can't drive, you're basically sitting like this the whole time, you know, reclined back in a chair and not to be 90 degrees. I went back to work after 3 months. I don't know when I gave up my walker. I think it was probably about a month and a half. I gave it up and trusted my leg to hold me up, but I had muscle fatigue. I mean, the joint itself was perfect. It was healed, and but it was the muscle fatigue that they had gone through, and that was what worried me. I didn't feel like it would hold me. So walking quickly, I was afraid if I would trip and fall and hurt it. So I went back to work after 3 months. We have a very long corridor where we work, and I thought, all right, well, it's carpeted. This is a good place to try to pick up my pace rather than, you know, sort of shuffle along. And I said, and the last thing I wanted to do is to have a limp with my walk. So I was determined that I was going to walk properly. So, and then it went from there to jogging across the street on South Street when the buses and traffic are coming. I'm thinking, you better pick up your pace a bit and get going. So, and then I suddenly realized that running was not an easy task. There was no muscle memory for some of this stuff. It was the strangest thing. You would think that it would all come back But it was such an effort. It was very interesting.
What were the activities that you were used to doing before you had your surgery?
Oh, I skied every weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
And Faye, you were super active before starting CrossFit as well.
Yes. I never really had any organized workouts. I did it on my own, mm-hmm. weights and an elliptical. I used to run. I don't like running now much. I can do some, but I row or use the assault bike.
Right. Yeah. So you're still getting that.
Yeah.
That cardio response.
Exactly. I mean, if I have to run, and sometimes I do, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And golfing is my thing, and which is sort of the reason why I wanted to get in and stayed in CrossFit. As I was aging, mm-hmm. I was losing distance, even though I was still doing some weights. And after a year of CrossFit, I was back, or a year or two of CrossFit, back hitting the ball better than I ever had, because I had more rotation, more stamina.
Lots of explosive power.
Yeah, exactly.
I do remember you coming in just beaming one day, because there was some tournament that you had played in, and you played really well, and you were really happy with your result.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's a seasonal activity, because we're not in Florida, so you're not able to golf.
I'm going to go golf.
You.
Heading out on the weekend.
What have been? I mean, you mentioned that you've been able to restore the distance on your shots. A lot of it coming from some strength and some power, some core
strength
is certainly part of that.
Mm-hmm. Core strength, stamina. Being able to. I'm finding I'm getting a little less focused now than. excuse me. Than it was before, but that comes with age.
From what I recall, you also tend to walk the course too, right?
Always.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm going to pivot to, what are your peer groups like by comparison?
Pardon me. When I'm in a competition, they drive.
Right.
I still walk.
Yeah.
I have a motorized cart.
Mm-hmm. How are you, Linda?
From me to my friends?
Yeah, I mean, we all have not just family, but circles of people that we interact with on a regular basis, and very often there's a chunk of them that are in around our same age cohort. What are people that surround you are like?
No, they don't do activities.
No. Mm-hmm.
They don't do activities. And And I find that they're disinterested in any kind of activity, not just CrossFit. They're just not interested at all. Their balance is not great, getting up off the floor, their health, their stamina. I have one friend, she's about 3 or 4 years younger than I am. She does yoga every day, and then we do the Canada Games water aerobics. We do the shallow end and then the deep water one.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's the one and only active one that I have. I do have another friend that cycles a lot. And she's the one that I just told you that wasn't very well. But she splits wood. She's just 82 and a going concern.
Wow.
Yeah. I think if CrossFit had been introduced to her a while ago, she might have actually bought into it.
Right.
But most of the other ones are just not active and don't care to be active, which is a shame.
Most of my friends think I'm crazy.
I mean, I think being in CrossFit, we're all perceived to be a little on the crazy side. But after we've been doing it for a little while, we start feeling the benefits to everything else that we do in our lives. We realize there is something to it.
Absolutely,
When you started CrossFit, were there specific things, whether they were movements or any particular elements of the workouts that had you more nervous than anything?
Overhead squat.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think everybody comes in.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of weight above your shoulders.
Yeah.
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 I mean, Linda, when you started, I remember you were still rehabbing your hip.
And my shoulder.
Movements where we had to go down to the ground and come back up.
It was harder, yeah.
Lunges, burpees, those types of things.
They were a real challenge.
You still did them. We modified them so that you were able to stand in between the uprights on the rig. So you had the support if you needed it. But you very often didn't use it.
No. Started off until I had built up a bit of confidence.
Right.
You know, and as I say, it was this fear that this wasn't going to hold me.
Right.
It was more muscle fear. So once the muscles got taut, then it got a little bit better. But
now, how quickly did that confidence return?
It was gradual and still is gradual. Mm-hmm. I would say probably after a good year at CrossFit, I was doing much better. I was skipping and I could actually jog.
Yeah.
And I remember being outside the time when we had a few of our workouts where we had to go and jog back and forth or out and about. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty, but I did it, and it's getting better. Yeah. But it's funny because I've tried to sprint, and I don't know how to sprint.
It's a different total skill.
Yeah, and that's why at the Canada Game Center, I was hoping that I could, because it's that nice to... soft running track.
Rubber track.
Yeah, so if I fell, I wouldn't graze myself. So I thought of trying to do that, but I haven't done it yet. But that's sort of one of my goals. Yeah.
Fall risks are one of the things that I looked into specifically to be able to talk about it when speaking with the both of you, because you're now in an age category where that is perceived as a growing threat with every year that passes. Mm-hmm. You know, I dug through some stats from Stats Canada, and they have, you know, self-reported injuries among seniors 65 and above. And one third of seniors 65 and above experience a fall in every single year on average. And, you know, the rates are higher. The older the cohort that you look at goes, it's also a little bit different if you look at the breakdown, whether they're in the home versus in a care setting, and a variety of different other elements to that, because there's hospitalizations very often associated with falls. You know, with the peer group that you're a part of, is that something that that group is consciously aware of and
living
about?
Through? For example, Chris's mom. Mm-hmm. She fell and broke her ankle, you know, two separate times.
Right.
And it was missed a step, but went down and snap, totally dislocated her ankle. It was a long recovery for her.
Yeah.
And, so I think it's on everybody's mind that is possible.
I think we're a little better at recovery, though, right? At catching ourselves.
Yes, because of CrossFit.
Out, I find.
That's
right.
Well,
saved myself a number of times.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider either of you part of that same cohort. Your fall risk is dramatically different, in my view, anyway. I mean, I've seen the way both of you move in class. You know, I mean, you don't have any trouble getting down to the floor and getting up again. You just did burpees in the open. And Faye, you've got double unders for crying out loud. Yeah. You know, not too many people in your age group could possibly say that. So, you know, I mean, you're exceptions to the rule. But I think you're exceptions that have earned that ability to be exceptions to that group. Because I think if more people were taking this type of training seriously, the risk to them would go down. Not just in the ability to prevent a fall, but also the impact of what a fall might entail, too.
Sure.
You know, I mean, have either of you had bone density tests or anything along those lines since you started CrossFit?
No.
I got to figure the number is crazy high compared to other people in your age.
Probably.
Yeah. Mine was good even to start with before my operation, but I don't know what it is now.
No. And I had a test 25 years ago, so.
Yeah. But reflexes, quick reflexes. If you drop something, you can go down quite quickly and pick it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're walking, I got my legs tangled around with Jane's dog leashes. And she said, Mom, you went down almost like slow motion. She said, I could see that you were just getting everything ready rather than just crash.
Right.
Yeah. And there was another time in the winter time we were going down and Jane said, Mom, it's slippery. Whew, down I went. But she said, the way I felt, fell, I protected my neck and shoulders so that I wasn't sore.
There's a subtle body awareness thing.
I think that's what it is.
We don't fully appreciate when we're actively working in the gym. We don't realize that we're picking up motor control things that would not be there otherwise that are just a part of how we move in the workouts, especially with how varied they are and the demands changing from workout to workout. Mm. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that until an unexpected fall or something comes flying at your head and you manage to dodge yourself out of the way and you know, you might not have been able to do that otherwise.
Oh, yeah. But it happens subtly. You're not aware one day I'm this and the next day I'm, wow, look what I've got going here.
Right, that's, yeah. It's certainly
it's
not
very
a,
gradual.
It's not an overnight thing. It happens pretty slowly over time.
No.
Interesting. What are some of the things that have you had to modify your diets at all compared to what you had done previously? I mean, because you were both fairly active, you probably had pretty reasonably healthy diets to begin with.
I think so. I can't say my diet has changed at all.
No, mine hasn't either.
I've always considered I have a healthy diet.
And you're not suddenly changing the proportions in order to support the muscle growth that you've definitely experienced?
No. Just...
And as you get older, it's a few less calories.
Well, that was something my wife suggested that I ask about because, you know, one of the things that certainly happens with people as they age is, you know, you just tend not to take in as much food. Just overall, your caloric intake winds up naturally decreasing. And so do you make a conscious effort to compensate for that in any way, or does it impact?
My portion in the evening is a smaller portion than it might have been 10 or 15 years ago. Yeah. Just because...
Mine is, but it's intentional.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I realized, you know, you don't burn the calories the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't eat as much as I did. More aware, you know, of the portion. And things like sugar, I try to avoid it.
And is that something that you would have done naturally anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Mainly because I like to be a certain size.
I don't want to be big.
You have to do what you have to do.
That's right. You might look at that cookie and think, no.
Now, both of you participated in the Open this year. Was this the first time that you had done it, Linda? Or was
my
it
third.
Oh, really? You started like right out of the gate when you started?
Pretty much so. My daughter, she's my I started basically because of her, and she is my taskmaster.
Yeah, I did too. I think it was 3 months, and we said, oh, we can do that. Signed up. We didn't realize there were going to be 20 or 50 of them. We thought, oh, we've done one.
Yeah.
Timing is everything, that's for sure. I mean, it's interesting that at least now with the Open only being 3 weeks long as opposed to 5 weeks,
it's better.
A little bit less of a time commitment. It's less disruptive. Mm-hmm. And with CrossFit specifically intending for it to be possible to take the Open workouts and make it part of your program, then, you know, it can just be part of the regular classes that occur in the days that follow the Open announcer.
Right.
How was your Open experience this year, and how does it compare to the experiences that you've had in the past?
I was really pleased because I did all three workouts, RX.
Wow.
First time.
That's awesome.
They put the double enders where it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. How could I compare it?
Normally they have toes to bar or something first and...
Some other movement comes up that earlier that's a non-starter.
For me.
Well, the very first workout for me were burpees. And again, this is what I didn't mention before. Since I've been at CrossFit, I don't have vertigo. Oh. It has corrected the vertigo.
Interesting.
Yeah, because when I used to do... the burpees in at the community center. I did a course there for about a year and a half, and I couldn't do the burpees. I'd get up and I'd be just all disorientated, and that doesn't happen anymore.
Was that something that had bothered you for a long period?
I didn't know it was even there. It was just something, okay. I think, I don't know if it was in my 50s that it was starting to come, and I didn't know it, but I just, when we were doing the exercises, it could be bear crawls, and I get up suddenly, and I'm all, but that has gone. Mm-hmm. It was still there when I started, but with repetitive workouts and stuff, it seems to have worked itself out.
Yeah.
So I was terrified to do burpees at this class, right? At the first workout.
Yeah.
And because all I did were the other ones, you know, where you just go down. And,
oh, right. Yeah. Bodybuilders.
Bodybuilders, you know. And I said, well, I'll do the bodybuilders. And Jane said, come on now, Mom, just scale yourself up. You can do it. Even just do the, you know, one set, you know, a set of burpees and the lifts, and you'll be fine.
Right.
So, all right. So I end up getting through, almost completed the second set.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot of burpees for me. Yeah. I have a lot of bruises
it
on my knees.
A lot of burpees, yeah.
I have some bruises on
and
my
I've
knees.
I've gotten slower again.
Yeah.
So when we did that burpee challenge, like I cut my time in half.
Right.
Because I was pretty slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you're doing the burpees while doing snatches too, which definitely changes the overall temperature in the room when you're, you're trying to get those done.
Yeah.
That was a tough workout for sure.
For me, I didn't know how to do a burpee and that many with flow because it wasn't a regular movement for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into this set of games with a little bit of anxiety because of some of the new moves that were new to me.
Right.
But I was willing to try them.
Yeah.
You know, and a great sense of accomplishment when you're finished.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like about the Open because in the class, I'm with half my age.
Yeah.
Right.
And you feel like you're not keeping up in certain ways, even though you're in your workout, your comfort zone. But when I go in the open and I compare to other people that are even 10, I'm in the category where they're almost 10 years younger than me.
Right.
I'm like, yes.
Yeah. You got to email Dave Castro and argue for another age category to be added to the open at this point.
Well, I'll have to.
Seems unfair.
But, you know, 10 years makes a difference on an age.
It makes a difference when
huge.
I'm in the 65 plus, and in a month I'm going to be 75.
Well, I'll tell you, even 5 years makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Even 1 year, I noticed.
Yeah.
I'll be 74 this October, but I've already, you can tell as the years progress that things just definitely change in your body, for sure. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you're each working on next? I mean, is there a particular skill or a particular movement that you're
all of them just trying
like
to stay the same.
just hold on to all the ones that you
forget
got.
The moving up, just like maintain. Yeah,
I'd like to get up to the RX for my age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to try it. That will be a challenge.
Yeah.
I haven't mastered double unders yet. Almost apparently, but I.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the singles.
We'll get you there.
Yeah. But, you know.
I'm dealing with a shoulder, so I don't do pull-ups. And
right.
I'd like to see if I could get a chin pull-up from movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm actually waiting for puppy surgery. I'm waiting for a call. So then we'll see what I can do after that, whether I'll be able to maintain.
You'll be wild.
Yeah,
maybe.
Just rehab it and come back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
Because that had been my goal to get toes to bar, but it's not even as close as it was.
That's hard on the shoulder for sure. Yeah.
Any of the hangy things. Yeah. I can do knees up, sometimes legs up.
Are you dealing with arthritis?
Yes.
It's like I'm full of it in my neck and my shoulders and my elbows and my wrists. And
it kind of comes for all of us at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been ongoing for a while, so
yeah,
the time has come. So
now, I mean, you both squat to full depth. I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously your knees are holding up, your back.
That part of the body's good.
Certain sections that disappear.
Certain parts are good.
Oh my! Yeah.
What are the most urgent concerns that you have in the way that you work out? I mean, are there Are there any like non-starters? There's certain movements that you're just simply going to avoid because you're managing your expectations as far as your health is concerned. I mean, you're only temporarily avoiding overhead squats because you're just managing the injury.
I do them. I just down the weight.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So
mine is the hanging thing. Right. But when I started CrossFit, I couldn't even hang from the bar.
Right.
No.
I could just a second and then I'd let go.
Yeah.
And then you'd hold it for 5 minutes and then 15, it's not minutes, 5 seconds. And
yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Yeah.
But and slowly that's come, you know, yeah. But it is a slow process, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's not damaging.
Right. Yeah, you're it's, developing.
And I think that is what I have to get my mind around, that it might be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a slower process getting there.
Yes, it is much slower.
You can't take as big a jump.
Yeah.
You know, doing something.
It's not
yeah,
as forgiving.
You have to
forgiving.
Take your time developing that capacity.
If I want to move up a level, I'll go in between in the weights because not that I couldn't do the higher level, but I look at the workout and I think, you know, like the whole thing at that weight is really too much of a push.
Right, yeah. Sometimes it's a bump that would be a lot in the volume that's programmed.
Right.
But something in between.
Yeah. And we've been doing it long enough that you know what you can do.
Yeah.
And you go in and you have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
And, but it's
for
amazing.
For me, it depends how you sleep. You know, sometimes I have sleepless nights. Yeah. So I go in and I just, not much.
Yeah.
Do some.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're a very early morning workout person. You've been consistently a 5:30 person.
5:30 class, yeah. Yeah, I've stuck with that.
That's
I started doing
folks.
It.
I know.
I started really doing that because I'd be going golfing after.
Right.
Yeah. And then you get in with a group, you know, it's your group. And and I'm trying to keep a routine for sleep and waking. Mm. Yeah. So I just do it all year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Linda? Is there a time of day that is more your way of working out, or is it really just a matter of what fits your schedule in general?
When I did the boot camp, it was 5 minutes from where we lived, so we would get up and we'd go early in the morning, and that worked fine to come back and shower and go to work. Mm-hmm. I'm a retiree, but I went back to work part-time, so I do 3 days a week, and I'm up at 5:30 because I have to be on the highway at 7 o'clock to get into the city. Or else I don't get parking
I'm up
stuff.
At 4:15 so I can get to class for
there you are.
Because I have a drive.
Yeah. So that is my routine for those days. Mm-hmm. And so CrossFit becomes an evening thing. And we go as a family.
Yeah.
Because that is my taskmaster, which is nice. And I enjoy spending time with them. Yeah. And
are you competitive with them too?
I think I'm getting that way. It seems to be so. Yeah, it seems to be so. I find myself looking at my score periodically.
That's the thing about CrossFit, because my daughter and I, she's in England now, and we've been chatting back and forth, and my granddaughter said, Jesse, all you guys ever talk about is CrossFit. 9 years, and that's what she still says. But it's like, how'd you do? What did you do? And she gets really excited for me, and I get really excited for her, and you know.
Yeah.
And it always comes into our conversation somewhere along when we're talking.
Yeah, I mean it's a double-edged sword. I mean when you have other family members that are involved in this style of training, you can't help but be able to relate to what it is that they're doing, even if they're at a different fitness level.
Yeah.
Because you know what it takes to be at that level. You know how much dedication it takes. You'll have probably more of an awareness than anyone that works out in their classes. Injuries that they've managed to work through, or if they've had any issues with sleep or with diet, or what all of the different contributing factors to what makes for a really productive training session. And so, you know, we empathize with the people that are closest to us that are participating in it as well. The flip side of that, of course, is the folks that are not pursuing it. Are driven mad by all of the discussion, or the poking and prodding to get them to come along.
Yeah,
which I've certainly experienced. Fortunately, all my family members, they do work out. They just don't do CrossFit. But they've all experienced a little bit of it along the way. So, I mean, it was kind of unavoidable.
when Jane and Chris's or Chris's mother and father came down a couple of weeks ago, Roger was upstairs and the rest of them were down in my apartment, and we were talking, and but we were talking CrossFit. And then finally Sue had to say, enough. And she said, Linda, even you are now part of the cult. She said, I can't believe you're in it. And I said, well, I don't see it as a cult anymore. Oh, well, when did this all happen? You know, it's the people, the camaraderie, the encouragement, all of that stuff.
Everybody's
is so nice.
When you do something.
They are, yeah.
What I think the funniest contrast that I see is I have a significant number of neighbors that are super into football. And so at the beginning of the season, all of a sudden, all the talk, we've got a text thread going on with all of the neighborhood guys. And the chatter invariably winds up turning to the season and what's happening with one team versus another and who's injured and who's not. It's very much along the same lines as what we generally experience during the Open.
Sure it is.
And, you know, so when people say, oh, you know, you talk about CrossFit and so forth. I mean, granted, I'm a coach and I'm a podcaster about CrossFit. So at some point, I can't really get away from it. But, you know, at the same time, people lean into what they're passionate about. And yeah. So, you know, there's an awful lot of people in my neighborhood that are super into football or at a different season. They're into hockey or baseball, whatever the case may be. And, you know, so the talk winds up centering around that particular pursuit.
Yeah.
The difference here, in my mind anyway, is that we're actively involved in what we're talking about. We're not on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. We're not just fans. Mm-hmm. We are participants in mm-hmm. the methodology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that ingrains it mm-hmm. in us a little bit more deeply and more naturally than if we were watching from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Even if at times during the Open, when we get so caught up in what the elite athletes are doing, we're also caught up in what all of our fellow athletes in our own gym are doing, who are much more, arguably, much more mortal than folks that we mm-hmm. see on the CrossFit Games yep. announcements doing the workout in mm-hmm. a quarter of the time that yeah. any of us can even mm-hmm. imagine being done.
I know.
The first
yeah.
round.
Yeah.
So I guess, hopefully they'll learn to put up with it, because I don't think it's going anywhere for most of us.
I don't think so.
No, I think it's getting more and more known.
Yeah.
I think my daughter found out about it through Jeff, mm-hmm. Because his wife knew of somebody that was doing CrossFit. So, you know, it suddenly starts to spread around your community a little bit.
Yeah.
And get various people interested, so.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll you know, continue to infect the people that are around us. Yeah. At least to take some of the edge off when we start talking about CrossFit.
Yeah.
It'll no longer annoy them if they're involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty careful to dial back the rhetoric a little bit. I generally don't talk about it unless I'm asked, when I'm out with a group that I know has nothing to do with it. But if there's so much as one CrossFitter in that crowd, I'm on them and I'm talking to them and they're chatting back and forth, because it just, you know, people are all the
same
way.
For sure.
It's funny, when I went to, there was a party that we had on our street a couple of years ago now. And a couple of my neighbors had done CrossFit with me at our old gym location. And someone that we didn't know walked into the party. And Mary, my friend, who used to be my neighbor, leaned over to me and says, she does CrossFit. And this young woman had walked in with jacked shoulders and was wearing like a tank top so she could show off the kind of musculature that she had developed all across her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She was absolutely right. I found out who she was. Sure enough, she was a coach down Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And a very good athlete. I mean, you start to see that in people. I mean, the majority of the folks at our own gym have a different build than the average mm-hmm. public. You see where they put on muscle from the functional movements that we do, and you can't help but pick up on that when you see somebody out in the wild. What freaks me out is when I see people from our gym in a setting other than our gym, because it throws me for a loop if I run into somebody at Costco, for example. It for some reason, just seeing them out in the wild feels weird.
Yeah.
Because I always see people at the gym.
Yeah.
It's hopefully your experiences have been generally positive. I mean, neither one of you has suffered any serious injuries while in CrossFit. I mean, we all get nagging little things. We pull on
I've had to back off a couple of times.
Sure.
It's not because we're trying too hard and going in it maybe a bit too aggressively, but...
Yeah, more often than not, it's, you know,
but it's very
too heavy
rare.
Or too hard or
too
soon.
Yeah, I think that's basically it.
You're respectful of the process of gradually building up to
that. With the coaches, there's always eyes on you.
Yeah.
That kind of say, are you ready for that? Or just give it a go slowly. So I find that that's what I like about it, because they walk you through the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're watching to make sure constantly that your movements watching. Are right.
Were there movements that you encountered in CrossFit that were just completely foreign to you, that you thought you'd never get, but you now have?
Hanging like a monkey. and swinging on the rings. Love that. And I can actually almost touch my toes, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that just happened last week. I'm just impressed. Like that feeling. Well, we were going to do it on a bar, this other gal and myself. And I said, no, let's try the rings, because I said, they're actually quite fun and forgiving. They're more forgiving.
Yes, they do.
They're
allow,
not rigid.
Like, they don't force you into a specific range of motion.
No, so you have a motion. And the rings probably shouldn't be moving, but we're moving them. So, and it works much better. It was fun. And she was quite pleased with herself when she got off.
Yeah.
And she said, because this is the gymnastic part of the CrossFit. Mm-hmm. So, she was very pleased with herself.
Good.
Yeah. Certainly the gymnastic side of it is something that we probably would never have experienced in adulthood.
No.
Ever.
Oh, and gosh. A wall walk? Yeah. My heavens. Mm. Who does that, really, you know, in the outside world?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, but we're in the
CrossFit. Well, I don't get up to the wall, but...
Okay.
About this
I'm
far.
Not up to the wall either.
It's far enough.
Yeah,
that's more than enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the things I did very first. I thought, oh, I can do that way back in the beginning. And my arm gave out and I can crashing down.
Yeah.
So it was a long time before I was willing to try.
I'm always nervous. I'm going to face plant.
Yeah.
That never goes away.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
Well, I'm always thinking about that.
Yeah.
For me, it's just I can get up fine. I don't seem to have the capacity to come down in anything other than strict.
Yeah.
Or collapse.
Yeah.
Or collapse.
I'm not very good at elegantly landing on my feet were I to fall and have to come down before I was ready.
Yeah.
Which is why handstand walking is still a ways away from me. Because I know I'm going to crash when I start working on that.
Yeah. And it seems that the people that do it have actually done gymnastics or have some kind of early memory, muscle memory. Yeah. Because my daughter had done gymnastics ever since she was 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then she changed from grade 10, 11 into diving.
Yeah.
But the skill base even for diving is still that flipping. But there is muscle memory, but it just took a little bit of coaxing.
Yeah. And so having that mind-body connection of knowing how to move.
That's right. You know. And when you're younger, you don't have the fear factor. So that you're
more flexible.
Yeah. So that, but those things still stay in your capacity, I think, if you can talk it out again. You know, it's like skipping. It's like running. You just have to rethink it again.
So, out of curiosity, let's make an assumption that A, I have more than two listeners, but B, that some of the people that are listening to the podcast are of a similar age to you two, what advice would you have for them if they had not done CrossFit before, and whether they were super physically active previously or not, if they wanted to enter this world of functional fitness, what kind of sage advice would you have for them in their early approach to getting started?
Would you think it'd be fair to want to go with a friend?
More than likely.
Yes. A female to go into an unknown area like that with all of the sort of preconceived ideas.
I would never have walked in by myself.
Yeah, right. I would not have either.
No.
Yeah.
So,
or if I peeked in the door, I would have turned it off.
Yeah, because all I can think of is weight building, and that was not my intention.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that OnSide has been doing Bring a Friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's
has been a really good way of getting your friends that you think have the capacity and maybe interest and will come with you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the buddy system definitely.
Yeah, I really think that that is key to getting
that's
people.
That's in part what got me into CrossFit initially as well, too.
That's important.
Rob and Tisha started, and at the time, they lived on my street. And so,
why wouldn't you, right? Give it a try.
I had done working out with Tisha. We were in a run club together with some folks on the street for a long time. So she kind of knew what I was interested in. And when they started CrossFit, she said, you'd probably like this.
Yeah.
I too was skeptical. Yeah. You know, I had heard crazy stories about CrossFit. So, I just wasn't sure, which is weird because, all of my history in sport has been fairly intense. So the idea that I was even a little bit unsure of whether or not it would be able to work.
But in the beginning, it was really pretty elite.
Yeah, that was the thing.
That was the impression.
Maybe that was more what gave me a little bit of hesitation was that, I thought that it was meant for truly elite athletes, that it was just a caliber of athlete that I had never been. I mean, I'm a French immersion band nerd from Nova Scotia. So the idea of, walking into one of these environments where everybody's doing very difficult movements and combining all these things in single workouts did seem a little foreign to me. Mm-hmm. And the first couple of workouts absolutely smoked me.
Yeah.
But they were fun.
Yeah.
And there were great people that were there that were also smoked by the same workout. So, I didn't feel alone.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's the people there.
Yeah.
I think if people are watching the games on TV, I think they'd be pretty intimidated with the athletes, the way they go through.
Yeah, you get that blend. Like, you have some, it kind of depends on where you fall in that spectrum, too, because there are some that will be inspired by it, the same way as they're inspired by the pro athletes that are playing football or hockey or whatever.
Anything.
And then they go out and realize they are in no way, shape, or form in that caliber, but they still want to do it.
Yeah.
But this is so much more accessible for us to do. It's really the only knock against it is it's not the cheapest pursuit in the world, but it's an investment that you're making in your health. So when you weigh it and look at it with that lens, it makes a big difference.
And even if you look at it from a lens of having a private trainer, you're way ahead of the game by doing it through CrossFit.
True.
Yeah, because you truly have a trainer every time you go.
Smaller classes, number, and a
lots of attention. Yeah.
It's a little like private school, but for fitness.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Private.
All the benefits of private school.
That's right.
Small class size, a little bit more.
High cost.
One-on-one.
Yeah, it's all there.
But fitness.
Yeah, but fitness, yeah. And the foundation, I can't remember, my goodness. You know, where you do your introduction to CrossFit, the foundation to establish where you are in the scheme of things.
Yeah, I mean, most gyms have, because the CrossFit gyms are not centrally run, they're all allowed to do their own thing. There's different approaches to how they onboard new athletes. But there are some best practices that the majority of them would adhere to. So there's an awful lot of gyms that do some sort of foundational program for bringing people in, give them some one-on-one or small group instruction, even smaller than the class sizes conventionally in their gym. And kind of, it acts as an orientation and a little bit of baby steps into the full class. What that looks like at every gym, it's a little bit different. Ours is a little bit different still in that we layer over the level method way of doing things within the foundation's program now as well. So they get an introduction to what that is and how it affects how they choose the appropriate color levels for their workouts on the basis of assessments.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
So it's even more structured. I think what we've experienced is that winds up being overall a very positive part of the training process, because you know where you've been and you know where you might ultimately be going. It gives you something to look forward to, aspire to, etc.
When you go to these busy gyms and you walk in and you see all the equipment, you think, ooh, what shall I work on? And, you know, you're just kind of floating there by yourself. But with the introduction, they introduce you to the equipment and how it's going to be used and all of that. That was another positive reinforcement for me.
Yeah.
And the person that introduces the sport to you, it's got to be really encouraging. And, like Kate was, she just blew out of the water with her capabilities, you know, and made you feel that you could do anything, absolutely anything, just small pieces at a time,
right?
And you'll get there, you know.
Yeah.
And she instilled that constantly. So that's it. That's in the program at Onside that I find in all the CrossFit ones.
I visited. I don't remember my exact number. I know it's more than 20 gyms. I think I'm up around 26 gyms that
I've visited.
Yeah, and so I visited all but two or three here in the province. I visited a handful in New Brunswick and PEI, a couple in Florida, several in California. So I've made a point of dropping in to virtually every location I've been since starting CrossFit. And what I think my takeaway has been is that I've been pleasantly surprised. Like there is a, while there is some variety in their approach and the size of their facility, but I so far I've been lucky. I have not had a bad experience. I've not encountered a coach that I scratched my head wondering what kind of background they had. They all cared very deeply about the experience that people in the class were had. And so while that may not necessarily be representative of every CrossFit gym that's out there, I think the percentages are relatively high, at least anecdotally based on the experience that I've had, which is kind of encouraging.
It would be nice to see stats, wouldn't it, around the world of where it started in the States and how all the countries have grown in the last, I don't know, how long has it been going for?
Back in early 2000, but really late 90s is when
Coach at least Lassen a good 20 years to see how it's grown.
It really catapulted in like 2008, 2009, and then you know has been rising ever since. If you're really interested in the origins of it, there's a book called Learning to Breathe Fire. That is kind of the origin story of CrossFit and how the CrossFit Games came to be. It's a fun read for the people like us that bore our relatives with the CrossFit.
More material to talk about.
All right. We'll have to read the book and then get back together again.
For sure. Yeah.
Talk about it.
We'll have to start a book club.
That's right.
We'll start with that one.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Faye, Linda, thank you so much for sharing your experience. Hopefully there's some folks out there that are inspired further in their fitness journey by hearing just how it's become part of your lives and how unintimidated you are to take on any challenge that you currently face in the gym. All right. Thank you both.
It's been very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's our episode. It's time for the AM wrap-up. Well, if I manage to work as hard as they do once I get to their age, I'll be in rare company. More than anything, I think the takeaway is to be motivated by their examples. They each wanted to continue to thrive in their everyday pursuits, and they recognized that physical fitness and the positive mental health boost that endeavor provides was important to making that possible. Longevity is key. Do they have goals in the gym? Sure, who doesn't after drinking the CrossFit Kool-Aid? But neither of them are thinking about themselves as athletes. They remain grounded and thinking of themselves as more capable of independent living, being engaged with their family and friends, and having the capacity to take on whatever life might throw at them. Resilience is earned with hard work. As a society, it feels like we've lost sight of that a bit. And that's in part why the example Faye and Linda play stands out. If we all took our physical fitness more seriously, particularly earlier so that we can hold on to it for longer and not have to work that much harder to earn it back later on, we'd all be better for it. And Faye and Linda wouldn't seem like such outliers. But here we are in 2024, and fitness in your 70s is certainly anything but common. My hope is that those of you listening take it to heart, and it lights a fire in your fitness journey, the same way as it does for me when I get to work out with these ladies every week. Thanks for listening, folks. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram with the handle @boxjumperover40. If you liked this episode, please share it with others or even maybe write a review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, subscribe on your favorite podcasting app so that you're alerted when my next episode is released. If you have any ideas or questions, send me an email at podcast@boxjumper.ca. That's a wrap. Stay healthy, wad happy, and wad often.